Estamos na mina para pegar o arroz. E tem ninguém pra...
Ei! All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. God is good all the time.
Yes.
I have a word from the Lord this morning. I'm going to stop bothering God on Saturday and just wait till Sunday morning. I've learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's pray in and then we'll get started.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Our Father in the Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, I thank you for today, dear Jesus. I thank you that the Spirit continues to move in this place, dear Lord. I thank you for an atmosphere that was cleansed due to prayer and the diligence of prayer, dear Lord, that we were able to kick out anything that doesn't belong, dear Lord, so that your precious Holy Spirit can move freely in this place, dear Lord. So as we continue to celebrate together, dear Lord, as we continue in our worship, dear Lord, of your word, dear Jesus, let us come with bowed hearts and heads to receive what you have in store, dear Lord, allowing the pastor to speak freely by the Spirit, dear Lord, that his control, his self-control, his will is lined up with yours, dear Jesus, and that we may be blessed to hear from you on this day. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We're excited to hear what you have in store, dear Lord, and we'll be sure to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Pastor Ben, you okay?
Oh, yeah, we're fine. Me
asleep. All right. It's walking down. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. I was doing the message and I titled it, If Not Now, Then When? And then God said, no, the time is now.
Amen.
So, there comes a time where you have to be bold about doing what God asks you to do. And I have reached that moment because there really is so much pointing to what's about to happen that I really can't sit here and talk to you about, well, if. I can just only point you to everything that's going on right now, everything that God is showing me right now about this year, 2022. I am not sure how long people have been with us, Pastor Dan, because some people like I just started watching you 2 months ago. I just started watching, you know, 3 weeks ago or whatever. So I want them to know and understand that the Word of God is coming true right in front of our eyes. God has been fulfilling prophecy right in front of us.
Yeah.
And right in front of the world. But like I told you last week, the world don't care about God. And God's not concerned about them. You understand? Because what God is doing has to do with an eternal plan, something that's lasting forever, something that gets his enemies off of the earth.
Yeah.
And we have enemies on the earth. I don't know why all these pastors are going crazy about a Beyonce video. I'm like, didn't we show Beyonce sitting on a motorcycle with a Bofamite in front of it like 2014 or something? And isn't her husband like sitting in a room with a sweater with Thelema? Thelema is the Church of Satan, with the logo, theme for Thelema, which means do as I will, means you can do whatever you want because you don't have to obey God. And so her husband is a Satanist, Beyonce is a Satanist. I don't care if she has a video out that makes people mad. You should have knew she was a Satanist before that ever happened. That's you get mad about nothing. They've been Satanists. They go, they'll be Satanists when you get raptured, and they'll be Satanists when they're burning in hell. They'll still be the same. So there's no sense of spending no time on that, okay? So I want to read a scripture that's in Jeremiah chapter 1 before we get started. And I'm going to... Hey, Randy, how you doing, man? All right. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to start at verse 11. It said, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. What word? The whole Bible. God says, I'm watching over the Bible, every word that I spoke, to make sure that everything gets fulfilled, okay? So you don't have to say, oh, I hope the rapture happens. God says, I'm watching over that to make sure it gets fulfilled. You understand? Amen. That's something you can be assured of. Everything that's in scripture, God says, that's my word, and every bit of it is going to come true. Matter of fact, Jesus says, not one jot or tittle will pass until everything has been completed. You understand? Amen. So even Jesus is letting you know that all of God's word is going to be fulfilled, okay? The Lord showed me, like, the people that come to the church, the people that support the church, the people that, he says, you meeting them in heaven is a reality, is not a wish, is not a hope. You meeting them all in heaven and saying, remember when, remember back then, remember before the trumpet, remember, he said, that's a reality. That's not a wish. That's not a fantasy. That's a reality. We will all be in heaven one day saying, remember back then, before the trumpet blew.
Yeah.
You understand? So God's word is going to come true, okay?
Yeah.
And he has made sure that it's going to come true. All I can do is give you examples of what he has already done so you'll know that God's involved,
yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
I'm so happy to be saved, God, and delivered.
Yeah.
Man, I don't want to get on the personal side because I got so much to say this morning, but to me, God is personal.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Now, what if I told you, okay, you didn't know, what if I told you God made sure, how many books are in the Bible? Thank you. Okay. What if I told you it was God that made sure that all 66 of those books were in the Bible and that they were positioned perfectly in the place where God wants them to be, and they all have the exact amount of chapters, words, and letters that God wants them to have? What if I told you that God controlled that whole thing? Because he did. Now, what if I told you these 66 books that are in the Bible are perfectly positioned, that the 19th book of this Bible is Psalms, and that the 48th chapter of the book of Psalms talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel? What if I, but not that it talks about it, not that it casually mentions it. Let's go to Psalms chapter 48. Because it can't just casually mention it. Because God is like, you know, it really bothers me that Satan's been able to steal so much from the church. I mean, the whole Bible is about Adam being put to sleep, his side being pierced, him waking up, God making a bride for him and bringing the bride to him. So from the very beginning of the Bible, God has been talking about a man and a woman coming together as a marriage and becoming one. And it's like, how did it get to the point where talking about the rapture in the church is taboo, but I can talk about getting your breakthrough, and I can talk about all of this foolishness, getting on the church lottery. The church lottery is like, the more you give, the more chances you got to win, you know? It's just crazy. The whole thing, church to me, got to the point where this is so ridiculous. Somebody's got to wake up.
Amen.
Somebody's got to wake up. Amen. I remember we went to visit a church in L.A. I said, Pastor Ben, we will never come back here again. We played baseball with them, everything. We went over there. It took them so long to do offering. Some of our members went outside to pray for the church because they were still doing offering. We're like, man, we got to pray for this church. Let's go outside. Yeah. We got members out there praying for their salvation because they're taking so long to do offering. And so I know that Satan has stolen quite a bit from the church as far as knowledge of who he is, because many of us didn't even know Israel had been reborn in 1948. And we were in church almost all our lives. And then we got, what are you talking about? Israel rebirth. It's like, hasn't Israel always been there? No. They left 2,520 years. 1948 was a prophecy year. Okay? Amen. Now, amen. Let's read it though, because you can't just say it came true. It had to have happened exactly the way God says. Watch this. It says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king, which is Jesus. God is in her citadel. He has made himself, he has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astonished and they fled in terror. So that means that when Israel becomes a nation, that means some kings are going to have to join together and attack Israel, and God has to fight the battle and make them flee in terror.
Amen.
That is exactly what happened. Five Arabic nations decided, oh, no, you're not going to name this place Israel. They said, let's get your army together, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to get these Jews out of there right now. And five armies, and now Israel haven't had a chance to build up an army yet. Yet, who won the war? Israel. God says, I did that in front of the whole world, and nobody went, ooh. Nobody was like, it wasn't like, oh, just another thing that happened, right? But God is like, I did that. And to think about the fact that I put it in the Bible in the 19th book, and it happened in 19, and I put it in the 48th chapter, which is 1948, and I'm telling you exactly how it's going to happen. It says, nobody's going to go, at least, ooh, like, wow, how did you do that, God? Let's see if we can make you go, ooh, here, hold up. It says, when the kings joined forces, they advanced together, and they saw her and were astonished. They fled in terror, trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish, shattered by the east wind. As we have heard, because guess what? Everybody heard Israel was going to be a nation again. As we have heard, the whole world was talking about it. They were coming out of the Holocaust. As we have heard, so have we seen. Israel's back in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God make her secure forever. Selah. That means that they're there and they're there for good. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches the end of the earth. Everybody's talking about it. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The village of Judah are glad because of your judgment. Walk around Zion. Go around her, count her towers. Consider well her rampart. View her citadels, that you may go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. And in Hebrew, the Lador HaAcharon is that you may go and tell it to the last generation. So when Jesus says, when you see the fig tree come back into existence, know that this generation will not pass, that wasn't the first time that had been spoken. It was spoken right here in the 19th chapter, in the 19th book, in the 48th chapter, to let you know, when you see this, you need to know and understand that this is the Lador HaAcharon. Yeah. This is the last generation. So, it says here, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even until the end. So there you have God. Now, what if I told you this? That within the 66 books, that if you count forward, 19 is the 19th book in Psalms, but counting backwards from Revelation, it's the 48th book. So that means God situated that. What if I told you when Eve sinned, her name in Hebrew is 19, and God put 48 constellations in the stars to tell you the story about salvation from the virgin, which you call Virgo, to the Lion of Judah coming again. Those 48 constellations tell you about the salvation of God. So 1948 is the sin that happened, and the 48 constellations is the salvation that he's bringing. So everything about 1948 is situated by God. Yes. But yet it came to pass, and the whole world saw it come to pass. And from what the lady told me who was at the synagogue, she said a lot of people were talking about it then, but as it passed away, the church got more important. And what happened in Israel got less important, to the point that you didn't even know that Jesus was Jewish. Right. After a while, right. You think he was a reverend at a Baptist church. You didn't know what was going on, right? So God is like, I'm trying to show people what I'm doing, and they're not listening. And born-again Christians aren't listening. They've gotten so deep into playing church that everything's about going to church and playing. Who's on the usher board? Who's going to be in the choir? Who's going to lead the praise and worship? It's all about, ain't nothing about the word. So God is like, look, I don't want you to be a preacher like nobody else. I want you to teach the word, okay? I want you to teach people what I'm doing so that they know that this is real and they can stop playing church. Okay?
Amen.
Now, so Israel's rebirth. They're back in the land. The whole world's talking about it, right? Amen. Now, what if I told you that God said, even though Israel's back in the land, they're not going to get Jerusalem back for 19 years? What if I told you that in, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 25. It says, on the seventh day of the fifth month in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the commander of the imperial guard and the official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the house of Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. So the scriptures is telling you, 19 years, because it says it here. He puts it here. God puts it here. It says 19 years later, they came back. They came and burnt the temple down. Why? Because 1941 to 1967 is going to be what? Exactly 19 years. And I'm telling you when they're going to get Jerusalem back. That means I've got to conjure up a war in 1967 to get them to come and fight against my people so I can whip them and give them back the land that I told them I was giving it to them. So somebody made the war happen, Amen. And then somebody beat them up and left Israel there with more land. Amen. You guys aren't watching what he's doing. Amen. And God said it's going to be exactly the same. They're not watching what God's doing. Did you hear that? That was strange. Where did Bobby go? And he said it's going to be exactly the same. Because people aren't watching for God, they're having life.
Amen.
I don't know if you guys saw the video of this guy, he's going around, he's saying, he's at a gas station, and he's saying, I'll give you $20 if you can tell me one Bible scripture. People are coming through the gas station all day. I'll give you $20 if you can tell me one Bible. I don't know any Bible scripture. If you know one Bible scripture, can you, somebody, wait a minute. Okay, thank you. And then they go walk up. All day he's sitting there, and you got hundreds of people going in and out. Nobody could give him one Bible scripture. And then somebody typed, this is sad. It's sad because you're a Christian. But the world don't care about God. It'd be hard if some Christians can't give you a Bible scripture. You're asking worldly people to give you a Bible scripture, you're going to be there quite a few months before you give away that $20. So I'm letting you know, like, the world is not concerned with God. But as born-again believers, we need to get off the church wagon and get on the Bible understanding and see what God is doing so we can see what our future is. Because if your future is their future, you're in trouble. Okay? So you better be happy about your future.
Amen.
Okay. Now, so let's go to Psalm 67. Go to Psalm 67. 19th book of the Bible, 67th chapter, 1967. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and may his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. May the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. It says, for you rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. Who brought Jerusalem back? God. May the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Now, he quoted from another king that says, God, make your name known throughout the whole world, because someone was about to attack Israel at the time. And I think it was Zedekiah. I'm not even going to say the name because I can't remember. But he's praising God. And he's asking God, because all these nations are like, we're going to destroy you. And the word was, this king is coming to destroy Israel, right? This is when they woke up the next morning and found them all dead, right? So everybody was talking about Israel's doom. Even one of the African kings decided to send some troops there to help. And God told him, no, send your troops back. I got this. And then they were about to attack Israel, and they surrounded the camp, and they told Israel, you might as well just, it was one of those coyote and roadrunner speeches. Oh. I'll give you the customary three minutes to surrender and prepare yourself to be eaten, because you're not going to get away, you know? And then the roadrunner just goes, and take off, right? So all these nations were giving Israel, like, man, y'all done. Now, so I looked in the newspapers for 1967. Guess what everybody in the world was saying? Israel's done. As a matter of fact, the article was called The Soon Demise of Israel, 1967. No. They were writing about them being gone. Y'all done. The soon demise, I'll print it out for Wednesday. The soon demise of Israel, 1967. About the, all the nations that were building up military and they're about to attack Israel and destroy Israel for once and for good. And so now if God doesn't act, then Israel is gone in 1967. But once they're back, they can't. Once you've been resurrected, you can't die again. Israel is representing a resurrection. They can't die again. So God fights them the war. They win the war in 6 days. It's called the Six-Day War in 1967. Okay? Now, I really want to just bless you with this. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Corinthians chapter 12. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. And listen, Paul. Paul says this. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Weakness in Greek is a word called asynthia, which is 281. That means weakness. Okay? Times seven, which is God, is 1967. Uh-oh. Which means what in Greek? The power of God.
Really?
Yes. So God is saying to Israel, in your weakness, I'm your power. So the power of God in Greek written out is 1967. Watch what I do. So God wins the war 6 days. Not only do they win the war, they take back all of the land. They take back Gaza. They take back the West Bank. They take back all of these lands that is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy in the exact same year and time that was taken from them. So God, like nobody, they saw me do it. Okay? So who got a hold of the church where Israel is no longer important? Who got? Exactly. Oral Roberts. I was watching the thing the other day, Oral Roberts and his 33rd degree Mason, when he was joining the Masons. Oral Roberts. People lived and died on Oral Roberts back then.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I was a Freemason. All of these pastors that the Masons, the Freemasons was like, look, this church thing could get out of hand. We need to open some churches.
Yeah.
And we need to put some of our people in those churches. And we need to change the direction from God and his plan to the church and lottery. See, because if we teach people lottery, they'll come. Because they think that their lives are going to be improved by giving. And then as long as they keep giving, then their blessing will come. And then they'll get their breakthroughs. And then the whole thing will be about this. And they won't care about what God is doing. Rapture will make that taboo.
Right.
Nobody knows the day or the hour. I don't know what you're talking about that for. Satan goes, good, let's make everybody repeat that. So nobody cares about the fact that Adam was created, was put to sleep, pierced in the side, taken a rib out of him, formed a bride, brought the bride to him. Nobody cares about that anymore. That the whole thing is about a wedding from the very beginning. And so if we don't follow and listen to God's plan, we'll miss it. Don't be deceived. The first thing that is said, do not be deceived. Many will come in my name saying that I am anointed. I'm anointed. Freemasons gave me this church because I'm anointed. No, they gave you a church because you're a 33 degree Mason. We have to make sure that we know God's plan, because there's a lot of people, and some of them are Christians, that are about to miss out on God's plan because they're playing with sin, and they think that Lukewarm Christians get to go in the rapture too. They haven't read about the 10 virgins, so they don't know half of the people that were waiting got left, so they don't put themselves in that category. But that category exists. You understand? I'm all about repentance. I'm all about people living for God, but I also want you to know and understand this very one thing too. And that's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That's Jesus talking. That is Jesus talking. He said, very few find it. Because it's hard to fight against your flesh.
Yeah.
It's hard to fight against your... You can do it, especially with the Holy Spirit. You can do it. But it is a battle telling your flesh, today you got to go. You can't live today. No, you're not having that today. So you got a battle with your flesh. You got a battle with Satan. So Jesus is like, very few that find it. In the Apocrypha, the angel makes it clear by saying, the road that leads to eternal life is a road that on one side is a flaming fire, and on the other side is a rushing river. So if you should fall this way, you will drown to death. And if you should fall that way, you will burn. So you have to stay on the narrow road to make it into life. That's how the angel describes it. Jesus comes and says, it's a narrow road that leads to life. You can't go a little to the left and you can't go a little to the right. You got to stay on the road. You understand? Okay. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm trying not to miss anything God gave me. Okay. Now watch this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to check. If you're taking notes, you need to know this, that 19 years after Jesus brought Israel back, he brought Jerusalem back. 74 years after Jesus brings Israel back in 1948, 74 years later, he tells you you're in the year of the end. In both Psalms and Deuteronomy. Okay? So it's not like God is like, well, we got to keep this from... I'm so thankful God called me. Because he's like, you got to learn Hebrew. There's stuff I got to show you. Right? or to make it bluntly, he's like, you learn Hebrew, I'll teach you the Bible. Okay? But you got to learn Hebrew. There's some things I need to show you. And I can't show you if you're not willing to study. Okay? So, rather it's 5708, which is 1948 on our calendar, but 5708 on the Jewish calendar, is how can you have the 19th chapter and the 19th book and the 48th chapter talk about the rebirth of the nation of Israel, and also have the verse in the Torah, 5708, which is the same year, talk about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Thank you. Somebody went, ooh. How do you do that, though? That's what I'm going to make the 5708 verse in the Torah talk about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Why? Because on the English calendar, it'll be 1948. But for them, let's put it in Psalms in 19, in the 48th chapter. And let's talk about the same thing. So here's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. And it says this: he will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. That's for for 5708. Now watch this. Hold up. Wait a minute. Is that a rap song? Hold up. Wait a minute. Okay. Watch this. I'm going to erase. What can I erase? We're going to erase this. Okay. Watch this. Because this is what the Lord is really showing me. He's like, because I was like, if not then, when? Because this is, he's like, no, the time is now. Okay. So you got 5708. 5 plus 7 plus 8 is how much? Let's say it's 20. Okay. Then we got 1948. 1 plus 9 plus 4 plus 8 equals what? 22. Okay. So, rather it's in Hebrew or here, it's 2022. Understand? You understand? So now, if you go, if you pull up 2022 on the pi sequence, right after it will be 153. What's that? The church. Okay, so God is like, y'all not watching what I'm doing. Watch what I'm doing. Watch what I'm showing you so you don't miss it, okay? So rather it's, because this is really the same year, but God's letting you know, do the number sequence. That's 20. It's 22. Guess what's after this in the pi sequence? 153, the rapture. So God's like, I'm trying to show you guys that we're there. Because I was going to title it, if not then, if not now, when? And God stopped me and said, no, the title is, the time is now.
Wow.
Because people aren't thinking about what God has already done or what Jesus said. Jesus says, that generation shall not pass. You had 70 if he didn't give you 80. And so 2028, 2029 is the end of the 12th. Smita? That's crazy. Let me just, I'm getting far ahead of myself. Let's go. Okay. So we read in Deuteronomy that he's going to, let's see what happens in 19 verses later in Deuteronomy 31 verse 4. Because it should be the rebirth of the nation of Israel. I mean, it should be the winning back Jerusalem, okay, and all that land. And it says here, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sion and Gog, the kings of the Amorites who destroyed, or who he destroyed with their land. Okay, so Sion and Gog fought a war first against Israel, and they took the West Bank, Gaza, and Jerusalem from the Jews. God came and won a war and won back the West Bank, Gaza, and Jerusalem here in Deuteronomy. Okay, he says, I'm gonna whip them just like, and then in 1967, when he fights the Six-Day War, he gives them back the West Bank, Gaza, and the same exact spots. Same part of the land. He's telling you what he's gonna do in 1967 and in 1948, and he does it. And he says, this is the power of God. Remember this, you guys. Somebody has to plan this stuff.
Amen.
Somebody got to make people actually want to go to war at the exact time I need. In 1947, in Psalms 47, all of the nations of the earth collectively joined together and went to the UN. It's documented in Psalms 47. They all came together, and Psalm says, to make a decision about the people of Abraham. And they all came and said, let's give the land of Israel back to the Jews. Who made them do that?
God.
Thank you. Look, you guys, understand what God is doing. You are not a part of a church plan.
That's right.
Nobody cares if you become a perfect Christian.
That's right.
Or serve on the deacon board. Who cares?
Right.
My thing is that you live in a life that God can say, I'm proud of you.
Amen.
You ain't perfect, but I can see you trying. I'm proud of you.
Amen.
Trump is about to blow. Keep it going.
Right.
I'm trying to preach for people who are trying to get to God's plan.
Yeah.
Because the wedding was planned. Now, watch this, okay? 2022. Now watch this. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Go to Genesis chapter 2. This is Tayana's revelation to me, and then I got crazy deep with it. Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. What does it say? Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Chapter 2, verse 22.
Oh, wait a minute. What? Oh,
dude. So there's a marriage happening when?
Oh, dude.
There's a marriage happening when? In 2:2:2. Okay. Not to say after that, when he brings it to him, Adam says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, which is the 151 or 1611, which means the gathering, because he says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. 151 is the gathering. 1510 is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So God is like, I'm telling you when the marriage is going to be. You understand? Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Thank you, Father. Okay, you're in Matthew chapter 22? Let's read verse 2 and see what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. So 2:2:2 in Genesis and 2:2:2 in Matthew are both talking about a wedding for the son. Are we watching what God's doing? 5782 is this year. 5782 is 22. Okay? I'm trying to show you what God is showing me so that you can say, we need to be ready.
Yeah.
This is everything's pointing to now. So God said, no, you will not title it. If not then, if not now, then when? You will title it, the time is now.
Yeah.
So let's read 22. So it says here, Jesus spoke to them in a parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. When did he prepare that wedding banquet? When did God start thinking about his son getting married? Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. And before that, but we can't have time to get into that. But you have to understand, God started planning a wedding a long time ago. He created Adam on the eighth day and breathed his breath into him. Adam became a living being, but the only living being with the Spirit of God living inside of him, just like Jesus was. Jesus dies on the cross and gets pierced in the side. What comes out of his side, the blood and the water, is the covenant. What came out of Adam's side was a rib, and both of them are preparing the bride. God says, I'm going to take the bride to meet with Adam. He's taking you to meet with Jesus, the second Adam. So everything is, God is telling you, I started planning a wedding a long time ago. And right now is a perfect time, because I'm asking you to go out and invite anybody you can. Get them in here. Let's pack the house out.
Amen.
It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. That was the Jewish people. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to the field, another one to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. What city got burned down in 70 AD because they killed Jesus?
Yeah.
The one that used to be behind that wall on that. They burnt down their city, Jerusalem, and the temple got burnt down in 70 AD. Exactly the year that Jesus said the temple would be burnt down. You understand?
Amen.
We got to stop on that and go, ooh. Because wait a minute, Jesus says in 70 AD that temple is going to be destroyed and every stone is going to be turned over. When's it going to happen, Jesus? 70 AD. He goes, okay. 70 AD comes around. Somebody has to tell the Roman guards, I need you to burn that city down today. I need you to burn that temple down today. Why? Because Jesus said today. I'm watching over my word to make sure it gets accomplished. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Turn over every stone. I gotta make sure every word is. Josephus says to recover the gold, the Roman guards turned over every stone to make sure that they didn't miss out on any of the gold. So Jesus made sure his word was fulfilled.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to tell you about the rapture. Stop worrying about it. Just be happy that you're a part of it. It is now.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy to be a part of it. This is God. God's like, don't get upset. It's like you think you got a lot to explain. It's like, I've been trying to explain this to people for years. They still don't get it, right? Same people. God said, a lot of you would go, if God split the sea and I walked through it on dry ground, I believe in God forever. And God's like, you're lying. No, you wouldn't. You get on the other side and you'll go, anybody got a drink? Where the club? You will go back to being you. You know how God knows? Because only two people that crossed that sea actually reached the promised land. Two.
Amen.
Two. I don't know how many exactly came across, but it was a bunch of them. The amount that entered the promised land, two that actually crossed that same time.
Right.
Why? Because you still got to fight against your flesh.
Yeah.
The world is still filled with sin.
Right.
There's still an enemy out there to battle.
Right.
So that means you got to fight this war every day for your salvation. Why? Because the promised land is not far from here.
Right.
And we're going. Okay? Here we go.
Amen.
I'm still in 22, okay? Verse 8. He sent his servants to the wedding banquet. He said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those who I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corner and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Now, I read the history of Israel and the history of kings, that if there was an event in the palace, that the king would give everyone who was invited the garments to wear to the party. You could not come in your own clothes because he didn't want the poor people looking poor and the rich people looking rich. And some poor people were invited and some rich people were invited. So the king said, I'm going to issue the garments for everyone to wear to my party. So when you come, guess what you have to have on? The king's garment. And what did he issue to you? The Holy Spirit. You've been clothed in his spirit, says the book of Luke. The book of Luke says you've been clothed in his spirit.
Yeah.
So then he says, be careful when I come that you have your garment with you.
Yeah.
Be careful that I do not find you shamefully naked and exposed. Have the garment on.
Yes.
How did people lose the garment? Because they were sinning inside of the temple. You understand? And God was like, get my Holy Spirit out of that temple. In Babylon, it was like, God said, get my spirit out of that temple. Take the spirit out of the temple. Get it as far away from there as possible, because there's too much sin going on in the temple. Since you are the temple of the living God,
amen,
you have a responsibility to keep the temple holy.
Yeah.
Or else God's like, now I know if Jesus is on the cross and he's saying, Eloi, Eloi, Lama Shabbatani, which I'm saying the English version of it, which is horrible, but it's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus is on the cross. What forsook him? How come he doesn't feel the presence of God anymore? Because he got your marijuana smoke in his body. He got your fornication in his body. He got your lies in his body. He took on your sin so that you can be clean. He took on everyone's sin. So Christ is on the cross. He's on the cross because he's dying for what? For sin. He's taking on your sin. And God says, because of this, I have to get my spirit out of there. Then Jesus says, why have you forsaken me? He dies. He dies. Wow. With sin. Where do you go if you die in sin?
Hell.
But if you go into eternity, you become what you were before you came out. So he went into hell and into eternity what? As God. Somebody need to be scared. It's like, who let you in? I died with sin. Wasn't mine, but it worked. Got me here. Where the keys at? Give me the keys. So I start slapping people around. Takes the keys back, comes up, resurrects on the third day, and say, it is done.
Amen.
Okay? And now, since he's the first fruit, you get a resurrected body too. All because he died for your sins, so that he could go down and take the keys and escort the righteous out of the middle of the earth. That's crazy. He's like, where are the righteous? Because heaven wasn't open before today. Where are the righteous at? Oh, they're in Abraham's bosom. Tell them, let's go.
Amen.
The price has been paid.
Amen.
The door has been opened. We're out of here. Right. You can expand hell now for your citizens.
Yeah.
My people got to go.
Amen.
We don't understand what God has done.
Amen.
Y'all don't understand what God has done. And I want you to understand,
amen,
because you need to know that they've been lying to you.
Amen.
They've been lying to you about religion, and there's many religions, choose one. They've been lying to you. Every movie that you watch is about how all the earthlings, all the humans are going to die, and we've got to restart a new world. Who's writing these scripts? Nephilim. All they think of, that's all they sit and write about. We got to kill the earth people, got to kill the earth people. Everything, oh, destruction day, we'll kill the earth people and then we'll start a new world. I'm like, these Nephilims have one thing in mind, how they can get rid of God's plan. But God says what? Joyfully I say this, I'm watching over my word to make sure it happens.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the enemy's plans. Don't worry about the enemy's plans, okay?
Amen. Amen.
So, at the end of that chapter, it says, you must have the garments on, right?
Wow.
And it says this, then the friend said, how did you get in here without any wedding clothes on? And he was speechless. Then the king told the attendant, tie him hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness. Now, I don't know if you did a study on this or not, but whenever it's somebody that used to know Christ and they don't and they get cast out, Jesus always say they will be cast out into outer darkness. So I don't know what outer darkness is. I don't know if it's actually hell, but every time there's Christians, like when he came back and the servant who was supposed to be watching over was not doing what he was supposed to, it says that he was cast into outer darkness. So I don't know what it is, but I don't want to be there thinking about I could be in a better place.
Amen.
This, what you have is incredible. It, to me, it's a miracle. I think about my life and I'm going, this is a miracle. Drea, you are living with a miracle. I ain't no good husband, not without Jesus. I'm a jacked up individual that you cannot deal with without Jesus. Whatever Jesus did with this is all Jesus. Good husband and father. What? Not Sandman. I grew up with Sandman. He not him. This is a miracle. You guys,
amen.
You think of, there was times, okay, before you got saved, you sinned, you didn't think about it. You cursed people out and didn't think about it. Went back in the house and ate some chips and watched TV. You know why? No spirit was in you. The Holy Spirit wasn't in there. Holy Spirit wasn't in there. Holy Spirit wasn't in there, so you didn't care, and so you just did what you want, this is what you want. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, "Hey, we got to check some stuff. You got to live better." And then he starts delivering you from stuff, and no more drugs, no more cigarettes. Sorry, it's got to go. This got to go. All these things that the Holy Spirit is on you about. Why? It's like a parent just moved in your house, like. Who let you move in? Now you telling me everything to do. I was doing good before you moved in. No, you weren't. You were dying before I moved in.
Amen. Amen.
You better recognize. Okay? And so now the Holy Spirit comes in and he creates this miracle. And now God is telling you, look, I've got this great plan. I'm going to rapture you out. I'm going to take you to heaven. Why? I got to clean this place up. I got to clean this place up. It's a horrible place. It is a horrible place. They don't tell you everything they're doing. It's a horrible place. But God's got to clean it up. Then he'll bring us back. When he comes back, Jesus will be in front of us. We'll be behind him on horses. He'll be in the front.
Yeah.
We'll land. He'll set up the kingdom. He'll rebuild the temple.
Yeah.
We'll reign and rule with him for 1,000 years on the earth. Then he'll say, okay, you know, this earth is getting kind of old. Let's get a new earth down here. He'll get rid of the old earth and bring down the new. Come, look, you guys, this is big stuff. Okay, so now we have the wheat harvest. See, the barley harvest left. Those were the people that was in Abraham's bosom. The barley harvest left. Now you have the wheat harvest. Okay, so. If I write wheat on the board in Hebrew, what would be the numerical gematria of it? 22. Why is that? Why would God make the wheat harvest 22? He's trying to tell you the same thing as he's trying to tell you with the dates and the number. Everything I'm trying to tell you, okay? He's trying to let you know I'm putting it all out there. Now, wheat harvest is 22. And harvest is 400, but 400 is the numerical value of the 22nd letter of the Hebrew. But 422 means your salvation in Hebrew. So he's saying the wheat harvest is 22, but it's your salvation. So everything's telling us now is the time. Now is the time. Be prepared. Rosh Hashanah is coming. All this stuff, the summer harvest is almost over. You're here. Now is the time. I can't show you more than I have. And a lot of Christians are still caught up in church thinking that that's what saves them. And that's not what saves you. I want to know what your relationship is with Jesus.
Yeah.
I think I'm done. Oof, I forgot about that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. Let's go there real fast. Then we're going to be done. My wife said,
What that mean?
She like, just when Just when you think the pastor's done, he got one more thing. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. It reads, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." 22. What's the next verse? "After that I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me." Revelation chapter 3 was verse 22 is this. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That's 22. What's the next verse? 4:1. "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here." So at the end of 22 is, come up here?
Oh, come up here.
At the end of 22, it's?
Come up here.
No, but at the other end of 22, it's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. It's a marriage. Every time the 22 is presenting you to you, a marriage, a marriage, a marriage. Okay? Listen, I know it's incredible, but guess what? It's God's word has got to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm prepared to leave. I'm prepared to see God do this thing finally in the earth realm. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job.
Hallelujah. I think we did it.